All right, well, here we are, somewhere that I thought I would never be. Standing up here doing this. So all the scripture reading that we had this morning, I picked because I wanted to show Christ throughout scripture. Christ the Creator from before time, and Christ in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So this being my first time doing this, you'll have to bear with me. I thought that I'd tackle something easy today. I like the question, what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? Yeah. So as I was thinking about the title for this study, I had to laugh, because throughout my life, pastors have always used sports analogies to convey a point, and here I'm quoting a sci-fi book for the title of this study. Sorry, but you're probably never going to get anything from sports out of me. So in the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the question asked to the supercomputer is the ultimate question. So what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? And after a few thousand years, the computer finally answers and says that the answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. But that leaves us still wondering, what is the meaning of life? Well, to some, it is to work, to be successful as the world measures success. To others, it is their family. They find meaning and purpose in their family, and to others, it's about themselves, their comfort and desires. We've all heard, he who dies with the most toys wins. But really, it's not that difficult or convoluted. The real answer to the ultimate question is simple. It is to glory God through Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 15 through 18. Which says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he may have the preeminence. So Christ is God incarnate. He is God become flesh, fully man, fully God, whom through all of creation was made, and whom all of creation was made for. Nothing exists without Christ. Invisible, visible, natural, spiritual, nothing. All things are his. It seems that people want to always make Christianity about Christ plus something. Christ plus a list of laws or rules, or Christ plus the ordinances of the church. Just follow these rules or these traditions and God will sanctify you, make you holy. But that is not what is taught in the Bible. It is not Christ plus anything. It is Christ alone and him crucified. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world who died and was raised on the third day, to sanctify his people by his blood for his glory, who after his work here on earth was finished, was brought up to the right hand of God, where he now is ruling and reigning over all of his creation. So how is God glorified in his creation? Well, for the unbeliever and those who rebel against their creator, God is glorified in his righteous judgment and punishment of those sinners. We as fallen man like to make excuses for things. We don't think about what it means that God is perfectly holy, perfectly just, or perfectly righteous. We think to ourselves, oh, we're not that bad. Well, I haven't killed anyone or I haven't stolen anything. But our measure is not ourselves or other people. Our measure is God. It is impossible in this life to be perfectly holy and perfectly sinless, which is why Christ had to come to take the sin of his people upon himself and die in their place. God is fully justified and even glorified in the punishment of sin, whether that punishment was that which was upon his son Christ in our stead, or the punishment of those outside of Christ in hell. We think, how can a loving God be so cruel to condemn one to eternal punishment? But we lose sight as to who God truly is and how wicked we truly are. Our natural mind cries out that this is unfair. In our pride and arrogance, we forget that we are the created creature, created by God to worship and glorify him. And if we do not worship and glorify him, We are broken vessels who are sent to the fire. We owe God everything, and while we were yet sinners, lost in our rebellion and hatred of him, he sent his only son to die in our place, to cover our sins by his blood, reconciling us to himself as adopted sons and daughters. Which leads us to the next question. How is God glorified in the life of the believer? Christ has imputed his righteousness to us, giving us the ability to live a holy and just life. It is by the work of Christ in us that God is glorified. He is glorified by his Son's obedience to the cross. He is glorified by Christ's work in and through our lives. We are to be like Christ. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We are to set ourselves aside and live our lives in such a way that Christ will show through us. We are not to be concerned of things on this earth, but to put our heart and mind on Christ and things above. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. None of it is by us. We didn't just decide one day to follow Christ. It is only by his grace, through faith, that he has given us that we are his. To God be all glory, honor, and power. So in conclusion this morning, Christ is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. He was with the Father in eternity past. The earth, the heavens, and all that is in the earth and under the earth was created through him, for him. So what should our reaction to this be? Well, it should be one of reverence, fear, love, and hope. We should bow down before the mighty God, our Creator, who is worthy of all praise. We should fear him, for as Jesus said in Luke 12:4-5, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that have no power what they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, who after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. We should also love God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, for he has shown such love for us that while we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and lost in our hatred and anger towards him, Christ died so that we may have life, and hope in our life with Christ, for as he says in John 6:37-40, all that the Father gives to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Christ should be our focus. It should not be on the rules or regulations or traditions, but on Christ, his love shining through us as we go about our life. Christ is the reason for the life, the universe, and everything. Closing prayer. Dear Lord, just once again, just come today and just thank you for this time that we could gather together. And Lord, just help us as we go through our daily lives to think of you and for you to be on the front of our minds. Lord, that all these things are for you and exist in you. Lord, just pray that you would guide us as we go about our daily lives. And in Jesus' name, amen.